Bristol Bay, Alaska is home to the largest wild salmon run in the world, and commercial fishermen from Cook County have been fishing there for decades. But there's pressure from multinational mining companies to build a huge copper-nickel mine in the region, and that's raising fears about long-term pollution and the survival of the salmon fishery there. Joining us now with more about this is Dr. David Chambers. He's a geophysicist with the Center for Science in Public Participation in Bozeman, Montana, and co-author of the study Bristol Bay's Wild Salmon Ecosystems and the Pebble Mine. Welcome, Dr. Chambers. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
It's my pleasure.
First off, can you tell us a little about the work you do with the Center for Science in Public Participation?
The Center for Science is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation, and our role is to provide technical assistance primarily on the environmental impacts of what's called hard rock mining, that is metal mining, to public interest groups and to tribal governments.
Well, tell us a little about Bristol Bay. There is a mine proposed for that area. Can you just describe what that area is like right now?
The Bristol Bay watershed, which includes, I think, five rivers, major rivers, is the last basically unspoiled salmon watershed in North America. There are a limited number of roads there, but basically no roads in and out of the area. The existing roads are just around several localities. It's fairly wild, I guess you would say, at this point in time. It supports the largest run of sockeye salmon in the world, and it also supports what has been a sustainable commercial fishery for over 100 years, as well as a significant sport fishery, and the Alaska indigenous peoples that live in that particular area use the salmon resource for subsistence. So that's also a significant use. The mine that's proposed, what's called the Pebble Mine, is a large porphyry copper gold molybdenum deposit. This is a fairly low-grade ore body containing not only those metals but other metals associated with it. And if this mine were to go forward as proposed, it would probably be the largest mine in North America. It would be a combination open pit and large underground mine.
Well, what are your concerns about this mine?
The concerns basically revolve around the industrialization of an area that is not industrialized right now, and more specifically, this particular type of ore body, this copper porphyry is what it's called, has an environmental track record that raises a number of concerns, in that acid mine drainage and contamination of both ground and surface waters is common at this type of mine. And in this particular area in Bristol Bay, they get well over 30 inches of precipitation annually, and groundwater is virtually at the surface in most of the areas, hundreds to thousands of lakes, and of course lots of fish. And because the main mineral of the economic interest, which is copper, that's also a metal that is highly toxic to fish. So if it gets into the water, it can cause a number of problems. At any metal mine, even underground mines, 99% of everything that comes out of the ground remains on the mine site as waste. And because we know that there's potentially acid-generating material in this waste, both the tailings and the waste rock, mobilization of these metals is a certainty. So in the long term, contamination off the mine site becomes a management issue. That is, know that these metals are going to be mobilized, and the whole problem associated with this kind of mining then becomes, how do you manage those metals that are mobilized? Can you stop them from leaving the mine site? And that's where this kind of mining becomes of concern, because at this particular type of mine, which is a sulfide mine in the near proximity of surface and groundwaters, the record of being able to contain that contamination through mitigation measures primarily is not very good. When we create all this mining waste, that has to be managed virtually in perpetuity, because the sulfide minerals can cause problems. There are documented problems with these sulfide minerals that go back into Roman times. So at a minimum, we know that there's the potential for problems spanning thousands of years. So once you bring this waste up and grind it up, break it up, then expose it to air and water, then it becomes a management problem forever.
Mining companies are also proposing to build large-scale copper-nickel mines here in northeastern Minnesota, also a water-rich environment similar to Bristol Bay. What kinds of questions do you think we should be asking here in Minnesota about this type of mining?
I think actually there are some parallels, although the characteristics of the ore bodies are somewhat different. But lots of water, probably some difficult containment problems. The fundamental question is still, how do you contain contamination, keep it from leaving the mine site, and how long are you going to have to do that? When you sort of look at the long-term liabilities of that, even if you get enough money from a mining company to put in a bank to generate interest to pay for treating water in perpetuity, the assumptions that are involved with the calculations about how much money you're going to need to do that, and the assumptions that you will have a responsible entity to perform that in perpetuity, are sometimes problematic. So those are some of the risks.
Okay. I want to remind our listeners, we're talking with Dr. David Chambers. He's a geophysicist with the Center for Science in Public Participation in Bozeman, Montana. We've been talking about hard rock mining, also called copper, nickel, or sulfide mining, and specifically the Pebble Mine, which is a massive open pit mine proposed near the headwaters of Bristol Bay in Alaska. Is there anything that you'd like to add, Dr. Chambers?
I think it's fair to say that we need mining. But after having said that, I think it's also fair to say that the world really has lots of copper, lots of gold, lots of nickel, lots of molybdenum available. So it ultimately comes down to, are there places that the risks of mining to other existing resources may be too great to accept? That's one consideration. And then, are there places where people really want that kind of mining? Perhaps areas that have had a history of it that know exactly what the risks are and what the benefits are. And so I think there are probably some places that are more appropriate for mining than others.
Okay. To learn more about hard rock mining and its impacts, you can visit the Center for Science and Public Participation website at csp2.org. I want to thank you so much for talking with us today, Dr. Chambers.
It's my pleasure.